Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Last half hour of hour number three here on this Tuesday, Election Day, November 7th, 2023 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. The other aspect of these mayor races could come down to turnout. Again, many voters don't even realize that today is Election Day. That's number one. Number two, it's only because of the mayor races in Warren and Westland do they even know that this is going to be an election for mayor. The current mayor, Fouts, has pretty wide support among the general public, community members, primarily due to his ability to get things done for them in Warren. But older voters are dropping off. A new generation could be more excited about electing the Democrat, Lori Stone, because of the fact that she would be the first female mayor of the city of Warren. And many women in Warren feel that they have been disenfranchised by the current mayor, Fouts. Most of his staff are men, and he has been supported by many men's groups. Women felt disrespected by not being offered any of those positions in the mayor's office in Warren, and had been pretty loud about it on social media. Interesting. Also, the fact that they are knocking on doors compared to putting up signs and running ads on local TV, they said that they feel that they've made a connection. And Vicky made this comment to me during the break. If somebody actually knocks on your door, takes the time to introduce themselves to you, you remember that person. Yeah, I'll vote for you. You took the time to come and talk to me personally, especially when it comes to women. That is very important in this race. Let's see how many women turn out to vote in today's election down there in Warren. The Democrat, Lori Stone, has been staying positive throughout the campaign, while the Republican opponent has been attacking, claiming that she missed votes while in Lansing as a state representative due to health issues. Now he's trying to claim that she may not be healthy enough for the responsibilities to be mayor of the city. Dude, that's a loser. You don't attack a woman for missing votes because of health issues. You have no idea what she's been going through medically, so that's not a winner. And the fact that she's outworked him, knocking on more doors, proves that she's perhaps even more healthy than he is. He's only knocked on 5,000 doors. She's probably worn out three pairs of shoes knocking on 15,000 doors. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Warren is the third largest city in the state of Michigan. It has a large automotive hub. And the attention on the fact that we're going to get a new mayor for the first time in 16 years, and the fact that the city has the opportunity to elect the first woman to be mayor, that's historical. the city council member, Rogers, has said she's hopeful that this won't affect voter turnout, though Warren has had low voter turnout historically in Macomb County, but we'll see how this all plays out today. Back in the August primary, Demas, the Republican, took first place, 6,999 votes. That means that he got 33.6% of the total vote. Stone, Democrat, came in second place with 5,000 votes. 5,023, 27.7%. However, the city council president, Patrick Green, a Republican, he took 26.4%. Or 4,796 votes. The remaining three candidates picked up a combined 12%. So here is a very interesting component. Where does the third place candidate's votes go? 26.4% along with the other three candidates, 12%. You've got 38% of the vote right there in other candidates. And here is the, I think, perhaps the final icing on the cake. The UAW, they're backing the Democrat Stone. Of course they are. That's what union bosses do. They back the Democrat. When you factor in the number of UAW members that live in Warren, I think she's going to win this seat. This is going to be interesting. So, again, I'll be monitoring the election tonight. We'll be talking about it tomorrow. Now, another story that I was looking at that I want to get into here. Let's see. Do we have time? Yeah, I got enough time to get into this story. The budget. The budget. Republican lawmakers are wanting more time to read bills when it comes to spending taxpayer dollars. This past week, the House Democrats rammed $650 million in supplemental spending bills to the current budget, a total of 12 hours. That's all they gave the Republican members notice of, that they were going to do it. Well, two Republicans, Tom Kuhn from Troy and Donnie Steele from Lake Orion, introduced legislation requiring members to be able to look at all budget bills for at least 7 days before they're allowed to move in regular session. 3 days if they're called in for a special session. The bills were referred to what committee? Government operations. That's where bills go to die. It will require appropriation spending bills to be in a process to be forced to begin earlier in each term and limit what members of the Legislative Appropriations Committee can change during conference committees. Temporary ad hoc meetings between the House and the Senate intended to resolve differences on spending bills. Representative Steele said the goal of the package is to shed light on the way appropriation bills are considered, to enhance transparency, accountability, and efficiency spending taxpayer dollars. The days of lawmakers getting billions of dollars of budget bills thrown on our desks with only minutes to review them should be over, Steele said. Our plan takes a good look into the way we do business and how we can make the appropriation budget process more transparent and accountable. by providing advanced notice and documentation. We must do better with taxpayer dollars, Steele said. Well, the package was introduced during Thursday's late night session that stretched actually into Friday morning. It was read in only after hours after the House had voted to approve Senate Bill 174. In addition, or part of the $650 million spending supplemental bill, $29 million for education, $20 million for special education, all part of the past fiscal year from last year. Earlier in the day, both chambers approved House Bill 4292, $650.5 million in supplemental spending. A good portion of it, $114 million, went to pay off school debt for three different school districts that mismanaged their school district funding: Pontiac, Benton Harbor, and Inkster. $114 million in school debt that us, the taxpayers of the whole state, paid off for them. Both of the supplementals were publicly released, passed by both chambers, the House and the Senate, within 12 hours. Republicans claiming they didn't even get a chance to read on what they were voting on. This is unacceptable, folks. It's got to change. Let alone the public even seeing these bills. That didn't happen at all. But again, the Republicans claiming they didn't even get to read them. But yet they were asked to vote on it. Didn't matter. The Democrats had the vote. They passed it 56 to 52. Republicans, are you watching? Are you seeing how you govern when you get the majority? Final segment of today's show. We'll be right back.
My name is Todd Spalper. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, electsmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
The WellConnect end-of-the-year blowout sale is here. A factory-direct do-it-yourself install package is now available to our listeners. Call 231-420-8320 to find out how you can buy a WellConnect geothermal unit at a DIY discounted price. Install it yourself and qualify for a 30% federal income tax credit off your 2023 taxes. Additionally, you'll receive a cash rebate from your local electric co-op company. WellConnect uses your well water to do 80% to 90% of heating your home this winter, 100% air conditioning your home next summer, just by calling 231-420-8320. Again, save money, get a 30% federal income tax credit before the end of this year, and start saving money every month while enjoying total year-round comfort. Again, call 231-420-8320. Do it today.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Every public meeting follows Robert's Rules of Order. Come learn these rules at a crash course training workshop in Gaylord, Michigan on Saturday, December 2nd. Michigan's state constitution will also be taught. Come learn how current elected officials are violating their oath of office. This training is a must for anyone who is considering running for elected office or if you want to hold your public servants accountable. To register, go to acconservatives.org for all the details. Again, go to acconservatives.org.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Remember a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, it might have even been a little longer than that, I talked about the governor creating this council to study population growth. She appointed this big, I forget, 21, 29 members from the private sector, from the unions, from all kinds of industry, teachers, business owners, all these people were going to get together and come up with a report. This comprehensive Growing Michigan Together Council. Well, this week she signed an executive order giving the council two more weeks to nail down its final recommendations to her. Instead of December 1st deadline, it's been pushed back to December 15th. The governor wrote, "Today, my executive order will help the council achieve its goal and do things right." Co-chairs Shirley Stancato and John Ricalta Jr. told her, "Our top priority is delivering a big and bold final recommendation that will tackle the state's declining population head on." Really? Are you going to recommend to the governor that she eliminate the state income tax, making us competitive with other states? Probably not. Are you going to recommend to the governor that we eliminate the monopoly that DTE and Consumers Energy has on our electric grid? Open it up to competition. Let the co-ops expand their territory. Competition is a good thing. Customer service increases. Prices drop. You compete for the business of providing electricity to people, the prices go down. Probably not. Are you going to get rid of MDOT and allow the money to go to local county road commissions to fix the roads in their county, county by county? Let them compete against other county road commissions as to who's the best road commission in the state? Probably not. This is all things that other states have done to make their states competitive to attract businesses and population. I'm going to make a prediction right now. Come December 15th, when they put out this report, I'll read it. We'll talk about it on December 16th. Probably not going to do any of this. And if you look at what the House Republican Minority Leader Matt Hall says, I don't know why the governor's council needs more time when they've already written and locked in place tax increases, more government control over many sectors of our businesses, and all they want to do is spend more money on schools that are failing our children, said Minority Leader Matt Hall. Well, there was a song back in the 1970s, Give Me Just a Little More Time. Interesting, it was performed by the group called Chairman of the Board. Do you remember that song, Vicky? Give Me Just a Little More Time? Yeah, she's singing it in the background. Well, guess what? They got the time. The deadline's been extended to December 15th. Let's see what they come up with. Got a little bit more than roughly a month and a week with Thanksgiving in the middle of it. So let's see what kind of recommendations this council comes up with. Growing Michigan together. Right. Let's see what they really come up with. So again, I want to remind you, time is running out. Deadline is coming. You need to register for this class that we're doing Saturday, December 2nd, Jay's Sporting Goods. Doors will open at 9:30 to get registered, get your materials. Class will start at 10, will be done by 12:30. We might run longer if people have questions. Robert's Rules of Order, the Michigan State Constitution, one item from the U.S. Constitution. You're going to learn like you've never learned before. Text me the word event and I'll send you the link. It's on the website acconservatives.org. I had a couple people, they donated the $35 for the books, the guide, the state constitution. Lori Robinson, really? She just texted me, event for the class, Dr. Sherry's flyer, and she wants Jonathan Deek, the computer geek's phone number. None like saving it all up and hitting me right at the... She knows I'm going off the air. That's why she did it. Okay, Lori, I'll get them to you. Dave Ageman's story is national. We will be talking about it on tomorrow's show. That's it for today. The music's coming back. 60s, 70s, Motown, the roots of rock and roll on 97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you.